You can listen to me. But I got a blessing. I got a blessing that was sent straight from heaven. And those of you that got pain in your body, those of you that been worked upon by that witchcraft, good God Almighty, that hoodoo, that voodoo mess, whatever them devils have tried to do, I'm going to pray it off you. I'm going to pray that I take it off you. One call, that's all you need. One call, that's all. I said, one call, that's all on today. I said, one call, that's all. The number is 1-800-399-7353. 1-800-399-7353. I just want three more of you to call me. This is a pre-recorded broadcast. I got a blessing. I know it's going to fall straight in your hands instead of slipping through your fingers. 1-800-399-7353. Or you can call me 678-962-3036. And if that devil try to block and stop you, said devil, Bishop Uriah said, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Let me sing my theme song on today for you. While I'm singing my theme song, call me 1-800-399-7353. Thank you, Jesus. Singing my song. I just want three more of you to call. Three more of you that love the Lord. Alexander, Louisiana, all around the day, Freeport, West Monroe. Call me right now. 1-800-399-7353. All calls are private and confidential. Somebody said, who's that singing that song? None other than I, the Bishop Juan Hugh Wright. God has sent me here to help. God and I can't do it for you on today. It can't be done. Don't get me mixed up with no one that you hear on your radio, you see on your television. Call me 1-800-399-7353. Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. If you ride them, God bless you. God keep you, my friend. And I love you with the love of the good Lord.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another wonderful opportunity to study your word. We pray, Lord God, that you would meet us in the text tonight and unfold the truth that we're teaching, that your children, your people, would not only be hearers of this word, but doers of this word, and God would be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor for the revelation we shall receive. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you are seated in his presence. Praise the Lord. I am grateful as we are starting this study tonight, dealing with an area that I have been given to deal with by the Spirit of the Lord that I think is important. And I don't care how long you've been on the Christian journey or in Christ Jesus, all of us to some degree have experienced the subject that I'm going to deal with and still may be experiencing it, depending on what area or arena in your life this might be relevant. But no matter who you are, I promise you, if you'll be real with yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, we're going to uncover and unfold something that has, again, paralyzed the church and believers in particular from becoming what God wants them to become, doing what God wants them to do, having what God wants them to have, and all of these other things that keep us from being matured in Him. And it's a simple four-letter word, and we're going to deal with that tonight, and we're going to start at least in this series of study, and I'm talking about facing your fears. Now, I know you might be sitting on the side of somebody who have no fears, and that's a good thing to be doing, but if you've got some fears to face, you've got to be real with you. Because no matter what somebody else is or is not, you've got to recognize you're accountable for your own accountability to God and to the Word. So we're going to deal with this tonight. And one of the things that I think, again, is interesting is, again, as we always define the words that we're talking about to help us, fear alarms us. It's a dread and anxiety. There is what we, as we start, a good fear and a bad fear. A good fear is always as it relates to reverencing God, honoring God, submitting to God, surrendering to God. It's a fear in reverence and respect of who He is. That's a good fear. As a matter of fact, later in the study, we're going to deal with that because that's where the beginning of wisdom and all understanding really helms from. So it's a good fear that we need to recognize from that standpoint. But then there is a bad fear, and a bad fear is always diametrically opposite of the fear of God. It is that we have in flesh and then from Satan. Anything that does not align itself with the Word of God that brings fear in our lives is a bad fear, because God has already declared He's not given us the spirit of fear. So if He's not given us a spirit of fear and we deal with the fear issue, then that obviously comes and emanates from Satan, and most times it is brought about or it is delivered in and through the flesh. And we're going to deal with some of those things as well. But when you understand that, and understanding all through the study that if it doesn't relate to God and His awesomeness, God and His sovereignty, and on and on and on, then it's a bad fear. And that's not the kind of fear that God wants us to have. And we're going to deal with those kinds of fears in our study. So fear is to be alarmed, to dread, to have anxiety. Reverence toward God is one way to regard with dread or apprehension, to anticipate as a disaster, to hold in awe, to be afraid, to be anxious. Now, those are definitions. All of those do not relate to God, but it does relate to the word fear. Now, again, as it relates to God, all of those things gives to us to know that as we yield ourselves to Him and in His presence and in His power, and when we relinquish our will to His, understanding who He is, because again, all of our true wisdom comes from beginning to fear the one who created us, knows us, can end our lives, or the whole nine yards. It comes from revelation knowledge. It comes from the written word. It comes from God. That's a good fear. But let's move on to some of the other fears that we deal with. And I want to ask the question, what are your fears? And we're dealing with in the study six basic fears, because all of these fears, regardless to who you are or who you think you are, where you are or where you think you are, all of us deal with some of these issues at some point and some time. Some of our fears may be so deeply rooted that we don't realize them because we have either skirted them, covered them, or we have simply denied them. And you're going to discover this in the study, because when we expose Satan's attacks and his tools, and then we're able to move beyond that point, then that means he no longer has the power, the authority, or the advantage that he used to have. Running away from it does not solve it. And sometimes covering it up only lends itself to coming out at a time you don't want it to come out. But getting rid of it, removing it, is always the beneficial a fact of the reality. So we're going to be discovering fear of the future. Some of us have a fear of commitment. Some of us have a fear of failure. And as we're walking through some of these, again, you're going to look at some of this in different areas of our lives causes us to have these kinds of fears. Fear of loneliness. People have made some crazy mistakes because they don't want to be alone. Put up with some unnecessary stuff because they don't want to be alone. There is a difference between being lonely and being alone. And you're going to decide and determine from the word of God that sometime it's better to be alone and still not experience loneliness than to do some stuff to keep from being lonely and having folk right there with you and more lonely than you ever could be. Because you can be right in a crowd of folk and still be lonely. So we're going to deal with a lot of that as well. That's not tonight. This is in our study when we're through with this, and hopefully we'll finish this up this month. Then we're going to talk about a fear of death. Now, again, if you are not in Christ and your position is not settled and sure, then there should be a fear of death. But there ought not be no fear of death if you've got it right with the Lord. And we're going to deal with that issue as well. And then there is a fear of God. And again, there is this fear that is rightly so for those who do not know God, out of the will of God, who God has turned over to a reprobate mind, because there is an end, an expected end to those, and they know their end is coming, and that's why they do all they do on this side, because there is going to be an end that they know that is already predetermined. But then our fear of God is a different fear of God. Again, it comes out of reverential respect. Now I want to play for just a little while, Name That Fear. Now, these are some words that you may know, some you may not know, and I want to just walk through a few of them for you, and you can write them down. If not, you don't matter. I just want you to hear them. This first one is arachnophobia. What is arachnophobia a fear of? Fear of spiders. Now, from this word on, I'm going to ask that you would raise your hands and answer with raised hands only. If you choose to blurt out the answer from here on, when you don't know the next one, I'm going to point at you and ask you to give me an answer. All right. All right. This is aviophobia. Aviophobia. What is this a phobia of? Anybody? Now, I didn't mean nobody raised their hands. Everybody scared, Brother A.D. said? I'll give you an answer. Fear of flying. Like aviation. All right. Next one is claustrophobia. Can I get a hand? Right here, Sister Sheila. Absolutely. Fear of confined or closed in spaces. All right. Let's look again. Dentophobia. Any hands? Dentophobia. Back in the back, brother. Fear of, very good. Fear of dentists. All right. Glossophobia. Glossophobia. Not everybody at once, please. Glossophobia. Did I see a hand way back in the back over there? All right, glossophobia is one that I think many of us have experienced. Fear of speaking in public, called glossophobia. Next one, most married brothers might have experienced this one. Pantherophobia, put your hands down, brother. You at noonday. He knows the answer because he was at noonday. Pantherophobia. Nobody at noonday who's here tonight may answer the questions I might add. Anybody know what that might be? Did I, you said something? Oh, okay. Pantherophobia is... These are real. I'm not making these up. Fear of your mother-in-law. I promise you, I'm not making these up. There are so many. I didn't have time, and I would not even list all of them. But by the way, y'all are responding. Some of y'all might know something about these. Ecclesophobia. Ecclesophobia comes from a Greek word. I would go a little further, but I think that's good enough. Anybody? Here's this answer to that. It comes from the Greek word ecclesia, and it is the same word, root word that we get the word that we get the book from, Ecclesiastes. So it is the root of that word, but it's the fear of going to church. Xanthophobia. Now this one's gonna freak you out. What do you think this one is? Huh? All right, here we go. Fear of the color yellow or the word yellow. Now you know that's strange, isn't it? I don't know what it does, but obviously it does something to someone. Hermaphrodophobia. This is another Greek word here that has biblical proportions connected with it. Hermaphrodophobia. All right, here is the answer. Fear of sinning. Now that's generally held by those who are trying to be perfect in the flesh and walking under the law and trying to have a perfect record and who not really exercise the spirit of grace, but who try in themselves to be perfect in themselves, and most times take bragging rights with the fact that I don't do this, I don't do that, I'm not this, I'm not that, I've never done this, I've never done that. And so a lot of things they do or do not do, they do it because of a fear of sinning. All right. Venustrophobia is a very interesting word. And, okay, right here. Now, you won't give it a shot? Give it a shot. Scared of a needle. That's a good answer. But that's not the right one. Anybody else won't give it a chance? All right, sis. Something to do with blood. That's another good answer. That really is. I think the needle, the blood y'all getting, but that's wrong. That's wrong too. All right. All right. In Greek mythology, anybody, well, let me just go on so I can get on with it. Fear of beautiful women. Now let me help you, because we're laughing at that, but these are case studies done in serious. Brothers who may feel that their good looks challenged might have issues with going up to a beautiful woman for fear of the fact that they don't feel that they are compatible in terms of looks. And so many times, I mean, they literally will just shake in their shoes if that good looking woman come close to them, or they have an opportunity, they would rather not even take the opportunity because they're afraid of rejection. And I mean, we're laughing at that, but again, sometimes if we don't feel that we are worthy, or our self-esteem is at a low ebb, then we experience those things that may be other names called by them, but we understand the feelings connected with those. All right, anuptophobia. Anuptophobia. This is interesting. Anuptophobia. Anuptophobia. Phobia. All right. Fear of staying single. Ah. Okay, maybe you can get this last one. Gamophobia. Take a guess at it. Gamophobia. All right, I want hands. I want hands. I just said I want hands. Anybody? All right, sis. Fear of gambling. Fear of gambling. That's what you would really think of with the gamophobia. But that's not it, darling. That's a good one, but that's not it. All right. Fear of playing games. Okay. Not gambling, but playing games. No. No. All right, sis. Now, were you at 12 noon? No. All right. Let me give you the answer here. Fear of marriage. Now those are just some of the fears, and there are literally hundreds of named fears that perhaps some of us have some connection with, but I want us to deal with, again, the reality that there are some fears underneath our skin that many of us have not acknowledged or don't even realize, and yet it has paralyzed us and kept us from moving forward, from flowing or functioning on a whole nother level, from being promoted, from getting our blessings. I mean, so many other areas of our lives are affected. And the first area that we spoke about in the beginning is the fear of the future. Now, I want to look at, if you will, the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And I want to see, again, from Scripture, we're going back to show the beginning of people that God loved, that he had destined for greatness, etc., who had a fear of the future because of their past and past mistakes and past levels of comfort. I want you to look again at the Word and see what the Word says. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 11, it says, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt?" Verse 12, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Now, they are recanting to Moses what they told him while they were still in bondage, still in captivity. They had a fear of the future because the God that they had called on for some 430 years that they had cried to told Moses that he had heard their cry, commissioned him and assigned him to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And he goes down and he gathers the people together and he gives them the message. Now, listen at this. They are in captivity. They are crying to be released. They want to be elevated, promoted, and taken to another level, but they are afraid of walking in that God has granted to them because they don't know what the future holds. They are used to getting meals, three square a day. They know where their living quarters are. They know what they are, though they are a long way from the best. They are comfortable with what they have because they know what it is. And many folk who are in situations that are less than best for them, that are less than good and healthy for them, would rather settle in those situations because of fear rather than saying, God, I trust you with my future and for my future. God has revealed to them a certain reality, and because there were fear of losing what they have or where they are or making things worse than what is already bad to them, they opt to stay in a bad situation. Now, they are telling Moses, now having been delivered from Egypt, getting down to the Red Sea, can't see any visible, viewable way of passing over the Red Sea. You know the story. Pharaoh's army is behind them. There is no escape to the sides of them. And now they cry out to Moses saying, didn't we tell you when we were in Egypt that we didn't want to go nowhere? We wanted to stay in Egypt. We were happy being slaves. We were happy not having enough and not having God's best. We were happy with our conditions as it related to our future that was far more unknown and far more unsettling than what we had to deal with. See, sometimes people can take pain and trouble and bad situations so long till they become numb to them. And they'd rather stay in that because they're more afraid, listen at this, of doing worse than they're already doing. Now, how can you be afraid of falling when you're already down? And a whole lot of folk have that kind of fear of the future because they use terms like a bird in the hand is better than two in the bushes. Well, if God promised me two in the bushes, then I want my two in the bushes, but I'm going to have to let the one I got alone to go and get what he has for me. When he blessed Job with twice as much as he had to release what he had to get the twice more. And what you don't understand about this reality is that God, when he promises you something, it is on his hand, it is in his will to deliver it. All I have to do is walk in that. Believe him. So look at what Moses challenges them and says in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord, not of me, not of yourselves, but of who? Now this is important, which he will show to you when? Today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen, when? Today ye shall see them again. When? For how long? Forever. Now look at what Moses, because the situation had become so immense and time was of the essence that the promises of God were going to begin in the reality of God dealing with what they were afraid of and what would have hindered their future, and that was their enemies. Moses knew that God had to show up now, because there weren't going to be a later if he didn't show up now. But the reason why he had the confidence in God was because he had God's word. Now, if God tells you what he's going to do tomorrow, then you don't have to worry about not seeing tomorrow and tomorrow not being what God promised it's going to be, because it's up to God to bring both you and tomorrow together and unfold what he said he was going to do. What is my job then if God's going to do all that? Believe. My job is to believe in what, when God says move, move. When God orders my step, I start stepping. When God orders my stop, I stop. When God orders my speed, I slow it up or I speed it up or I slow it down. I get my orders from the Lord because he is the one who orders my future. Now listen at this. Every blessing and benefit beyond what you are experiencing right now in terms of God's best, listen at me well, is before you. I don't care how good your past has been. I don't care what you've accomplished, what you've enjoyed, even in the Lord. Your best is always before you and never behind you. God would not give you the total sum of his best blessings and still leave them behind you. Listen to me well, because you need to see this and need to understand this. These Egyptians thought, like a lot of us, that those were the good old days. And you remember when. And we get so caught up in the memory that we forget where we are in the moment and what God has if we move forward. some of us can't see beyond where we've been. And so as a result of that, we are held and paralyzed to what we know has already happened, that we cannot relive again, that is gone for eternity. And the only thing that is left is a memory. And so again, some of us who have feared the pain, the suffering, the disappointments, the letdowns of yesteryear and yesterday are afraid that they may duplicate themselves tomorrow. So rather than go through that again, I just stick with what I got. And so here, Moses is saying to the people of God, wait a minute. Listen again to what he says. I want you to see this. Fear ye not. Well, here's the first problem.